In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus your Lord. So baptism defines you. Not your last name, not your parents, not your talents, abilities, accomplishments, or the lack thereof, but baptism defines you. It makes you who you are, justified, sanctified, forgiven, redeemed, saved, a child of God, a co-heir with Christ of all things, and a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sin still clings to you, but it's not who you are. No matter how graphic, intense, or frequent that sin may be, sin cannot define you. Christ's blood defines you, and his blood is greater than your sin. All is removed, all is forgiven, all is paid for by Christ himself, by that divine blood he shed on the cross. It is that blood that makes you what you are, a holy saint before God. You remain holy and righteous in him. To say that baptism defines you is to say that Jesus defines you. His cross defines you. For you cannot receive the blessings of his cross if you are not baptized. Many reserve that title saint. Even, sadly, many within the Christian church, they reserve that title of saint for someone who goes above and beyond in compassion, patience, kindness, gentleness, and selflessness. But Scripture calls every baptized believer a saint. Sainthood does not flow from what you are able to accomplish, but it flows from the work of Christ. Sainthood comes and is built upon his compassion, his patience, his gentleness, his selflessness, his love. You are a holy saint because all that he has done now flows to you. What he is, so you now are. Work hard to keep the law, and you will fall short. Never attain the title of saint. Believe, and it is done for you, and all is yours. So find your comfort and your hope in the righteousness that Christ has won for you. Consider your daily life, then, as nothing more than an extension of your baptism. Christ's righteousness makes you what you are, a holy saint. So now live as a holy saint before God. You have died to sin. It mustn't control you, so don't play around with it. Do not think that you can entertain sinful thoughts in your mind, for sinful desires always, quite often, give way to sinful expression, and you know that leads to death. Sin is no plaything. Have nothing to do with it, for you have been set free from it. Your body is not an instrument of unrighteousness to please yourself, but your body is an instrument of righteousness, so that you might serve, love, and do good to those around you. God has prepared these good works for you in advance, so carry them out with gratitude and joy. Serve where you are. Find joy and contentment in what he has given to you, not in what you think you need. He has not taken you to heaven the moment of your baptism, and he still leaves you on this earth at this moment because others need your life, your love, your service, your work. So live righteous, live a righteous and blameless life according to the Ten Commandments, for by doing so you please your Heavenly Father. These commandments are simply descriptions of God. They flow from him. They reveal his heart to you, and they reveal what his holiness is. This should not be surprising to you, since love is the summary of the law, and God is love. So it is God who defines all morality and goodness. The commandments simply shows us what that looks like. Even the natural knowledge of God found in our conscience reveals the objective truth of who God is and what he desires for us. Immorality is simply what is opposite of God. Evil is what is opposite of God. So these are not 10 random commands that God decided to give, but they reveal God to us. Since we are remade in the image and likeness of God, these 10 commandments are to define us as well. We bear the image of our Savior. His life is to be seen in our lives. His thoughts are to be seen in our thoughts, his words and works in our words and works. We are to be like him. Only his righteousness makes us what we are. Only his work gives us the eternal hope of everlasting life. And this will never change. You cannot increase in Christ's righteousness, and you cannot decrease in it. It remains a constant because it is won by Christ and fully and freely given to you, whether you are a couple months old or many years old. You all wear the same righteousness. But the way you live your life can increase or decrease. The righteousness which you live can increase or decrease. So increase and grow so that your righteousness might surpass the scribes and the Pharisees. They were concerned only with the outward action. The Lord is concerned with the heart. The Pharisees limited that fifth commandment, "You shall not murder," to the hands. And yet Jesus says the commandment applies not only to our hands, but to every part of our bodies, our body, soul, mind, and spirit. And so your mind murders when you are angry. Your lips murder when they call someone a fool. And that word in the Greek is literally a moron or an idiot. And do not play semantics with me by saying that you don't hate people, you just dislike them, or you're not angry, you're just frustrated with them. Anyone who is frustrated with someone, who dislikes them, or calls them a demeaning name is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in Christ. With every positive or with every negative command forbidding something that our Lord gives, the positive command is also implied. We should fear and love God that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every bodily need. It is not enough to simply refrain from causing harm. The Pharisees would have stopped there. But our Lord says our righteousness, our lives must surpass them in goodness. So we must also do something for others. God put us here to be a blessing and to serve others from the heart. And so let us respond with calmness, with patience, with love. Let us speak to them with respect and honor, submitting ourselves to one another, even as Christ instructs us to. They may not deserve our honor or respect, but they don't have to earn it, because God instructs us to give it. God has torn out that heart of stone and given us a new heart to love and serve, even as God has loved and served us. What God wants is what we want. How God loves is how we love. How he kept the commandments is how we strive to keep them. For as these commandments are descriptions of God, so also these commandments must define us. Now, time prevents us from walking through each one of these commandments to show how they apply to body, soul, heart, and mind. But our Lord instructs us that we are to love from the heart, to increase and grow in how you think, live, and speak, so that the love of God might be seen in you more and more clearly each day. But this also calls for repentance each day, for we have sinned. And so we must go back to baptism, back to the blood of Christ found in that water. This defines you. This water makes you who you are. That water guarantees your place in heaven, not your works. For the old Adam must, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die, with all sin and all evil desires. And a new man must daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. We strive to improve in our Christian living. but we never progress beyond repentance. To progress beyond repentance is to progress beyond Christ, beyond baptism, beyond forgiveness. And so our Christian life is not a trajectory upward, but it's cyclical. Constantly repenting, constant contrition, sorrow over sins, for we recognize what we have done. And whether we see it or not, we know we have sinned against our God in ways that he knows. And daily repentance, looking to God in faith. For Christ alone is our righteousness. He alone is our perfection, our hope, our joy, our comfort. He alone is the reason that we can be called a saint. The world may call us hypocrites for not living up to the standards God lays out for us, but we're not. Because we readily admit we have fallen far short. And yet we remain saints of God. We remain the baptized. His blood continues to flow over us and into us. God is faithful. He has not failed where we have failed. He has not changed though we have changed. And so we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.